The last 12 to 14 hours, I was not able to do anything but lay on the couch with a hoodie and sweatpants and two blankets, and as my entire body ached, and my wife told me to suck it up and do something, so I just closed my eyes and act like it would all go away, and it didn't. And this morning, she was on my butt from about 5:30 until 8:30, whenever I was finally able to gain the strength to get off the couch and let the dog out. And as I woke up this morning, I felt horrible, but man, I'm so blessed. I mean, we are blessed. And today I want to read a story. Today I want to talk about a story, but let me just ask you this. Have you ever heard anyone say something along the lines of this? Boy, the world's never been in such a horrible shape. Have you ever heard that? Boy, it couldn't get any worse here. It's just so bad. Has anyone ever heard that? Maybe you've said it. Anybody guilty of saying it? There's a few people guilty of saying it. And, you know, the sarcastic side, the not-so-preacher-like side, wants to laugh whenever I hear those words. I'm sorry. And I always hear people talk about how horrible the world is, and it is horrible. It is corrupt. The world that we live in is not a pleasant, joyful place. But I just want to ask, have you ever read the Bible? I mean, God created man, and within the first 7 chapters, he's wiped them all out. I mean, it didn't last very long. The people were so wicked and so much in sin that he decided to wipe them all out with a flood. All the inhabitants of the earth, except the family of Noah and his family, and the pair or 7 pairs of animals in which he had on the boat with him. And the reason we think it's so horrible is because something could happen all the way across the world, and because of these things right here, we know about it immediately. We know of terrorist attacks, we know of good things, we know of bad things. And the reality is that the world has always been bad. And then after Noah and the flood, whenever we get to Genesis chapter 19, and that's where I want to go today, Genesis chapter 19, we read the story of these cities known as Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me just kind of catch you up to where we are, and let me catch you up, and let me just explain to you Abraham's nephew Lot. Has anyone ever really read about Abraham's nephew Lot? So God called Abraham out of his homeland and out of his father's land in Genesis chapter 12. And immediately the Bible says that Abraham went, but he was known as Abram then. And he brings this nephew of his known as Lot. Nephew Lot. And this is not really a guy that you want around. All right, he's probably like some of your family members or your in-laws. You know, some of those crazy uncles, those crazy cousins, the ones that are always getting into trouble and doing crazy things. This is Lot. And he comes with Abraham as he leaves his father's house. And then whenever you get into Genesis chapter 19, you see Abram, pleading with God to not destroy these cities known as Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, if you can find 10 righteous people in these cities, will you please spare the cities? And he was doing this because his nephew lived there, Lot lived there. And what happens is, God says, you know what? I'm going to go down and I'm going to see it myself. So he sends 2 angels down, and these 2 men go into the city, and Lot meets them as they're coming in. And he bows before them because he recognizes that they are not just normal residents of the city, and that they were of a divine appointment, or, you know, a placement by God. So here they are. And he says, why don't you guys come with me to my house? And they say, no. We want to see the city square. We want to see the town square. We're going to stay there tonight. And he says, no. The Bible says that he was very strong whenever he now calls them to his house. And whenever he finally gets them into his house, he makes a feast for them. So he cooks for these 2 men, and they say to Lot, they say, look, you need to get everyone that you know here that you want to take with you, because we're about to destroy this place. And as the evening goes on, all of the men of the city come into the region of Lot's door, and they're saying, hey, we want to get those 2 men. Why don't you send those 2 men out here? And the Bible says they wanted to know them. And the Hebrew term of yada, anybody ever heard the term yada? Yada means to know. And we first see this term enter in whenever Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived a child. So this term yada was of a very intimate knowing. And here these men of the city wanted to get these two men out of Lot's house, and they wanted to know them right in the city streets. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't see this happening in the United States of America where these things are going on right inside the city streets. And Lot says, no, I'll send you my two daughters. You can have them. Please do not call for these men because they are here. And you probably don't want to know why they're here, but he pleads with the people. And they finally, the men strike all of the men with blindness so they couldn't see where they were at. So they couldn't get inside the door. And then we see, if you have your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 19. And I have it on the screen if you don't have it on there. And in verse 15, and it says, as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of this city. But look what happens with Lot. But he lingered. And the reality is that we are all guilty of lingering in one thing or another. We're all guilty of lingering. Maybe you've been guilty of lingering in a relationship that was not healthy. Linger in marriages that are not healthy. People linger in friendships or other relationships that are not healthy. Why do we linger? Maybe we linger because we're afraid of what is unknown. Maybe we fear the unknown or what life would look like without that person or without this friendship or without that relationship. So we linger in relationships because we don't know what life would look like without them. Maybe we linger in sin. And we linger in sin because sin brings us pleasure and it brings us joy. We have this temporary satisfaction of this sin or that sin. And the longer we linger in it, let me just tell you, the harder it is to leave it. Because he tells Lot, the angels tell Lot, up, take your wife and your daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. They're telling him, leave this city because we're about to destroy this place. What does Lot do? He lingers. And I think that we would all be guilty of lingering in one thing or another. Maybe we've been guilty of lingering in relationship sin, or maybe we've been guilty of lingering in mindsets. You know, my wife told me this morning, as she had heard the importance of lingering whenever I was reading this and trying to preach it to her last night or this morning, she said, you're lingering in your sickness. She doesn't understand how bad I hurt. She didn't understand how bad my body ached and how hot and sweaty it was. But she said, stop lingering in your sickness. And I realized that we're all guilty of also lingering in mindsets because we start to feel sorry for ourselves, so we just linger in it. And what happens, the longer we linger in this mindset of feeling sorry for ourselves or you know, feeling bad about ourselves or wanting people to feel sorry for us as well, the longer we linger in it, the more we realize that no one else really cares. Let's just be honest. People don't want you to feel sorry for yourself. People don't want me to linger in this, oh, I'm sick, I don't feel well. Ugh, the devil's after me now. He's after my marriage. He's after me. When really, the devil didn't have anything to do with it. I just made poor decisions. Maybe I just made silly decisions. Maybe I just said some hateful things and lost my temper. The devil wasn't after my marriage. I just lost my temper. Maybe we linger in mindsets. Or something else that I used to linger in. I used to linger in a pew. I used to linger in pews because I was fearful of what it would really look like to get involved and to serve the people of my community. And I wanted to linger in places because what I realized was this. When I lingered in relationships, when I lingered in sin, when I lingered in pews, and when I lingered in mindsets, it was really, really comfortable. It was really, really comfortable. And let me just tell you this. God is a God of movement. God is a God of motion. He doesn't want anyone to just stay still. You're either moving closer to him or you're moving further away. There is no stagnant mindset. There is no stagnant motion of your relationship with him. You're either moving in this direction or you're moving in the opposite direction. And I realized that lingering in one thing or another, one, made it harder to leave. And then what happens is the sin that we linger in has a tighter and tighter grip the longer we're there. Think of Samson. Anybody remember the story of Samson? Samson was the Nazirite with very long hair and incredible strength. And whenever you read the book of Judges, you find in chapter 16 this man named Samson who had a really, really big issue when it came to women. He had a problem with women. And there was this famous woman named Delilah. And what happens is, Samson goes to see his lady friend, and she asks him three times, What is it that would bind you? How do you get your strength? She's wanting to know where he gets his strength. And he says three different things for the first three times. He lies to her and he tells her, if you tie me with this or if you tie me with that, then I'll lose my strength. So they tie him with that, and instead of him losing his strength, he's actually able to break out of it. So finally, after he opens up his heart to her, he tells her, look, I get my strength because of my hair. And if it wasn't for my hair, if my hair was cut, I wouldn't have any strength. So what does Delilah do after the three times that he lied to her? Well, while he's asleep, she takes his hair and cuts it. And Samson, thinking that he is going to break out of everything that he had already broken out of in the grips of the people, was not able to do so. He lost his strength. And the only reason that he lost his strength was because he lingered with Delilah for a longer time than he should have. And what happens is, the longer we linger, the faster our strength goes. The longer we linger, also it distracts us from where we're going. Look what happens next. This is chapter 19, verse 25. So what happens is, Lot's lingering and the people seized him. The two men seized him and they pretty much forced him out of the city. And they worked out this deal where he would go to this little city. He didn't want to go into the hills because he was afraid that he would be too close to the destruction, and he didn't want to feel any of it. So he said, I'm going to go to this city out here. And they said, okay, that's good. And he tells them, I've found favor, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to take my wife and my two daughters. He didn't take his two sons-in-law because his two sons-in-law didn't believe him when he warned them that city was going to be destroyed. So look what happens in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 25. It says, and he overthrew those cities. God overthrew the cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. So here they are. Lot and his family are leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, but Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. You know, they were commanded to leave the city and not look back. And out of disobedience, Lot's wife looks back. But can we just give her a break? Can we give her a break? Good grief, you've got sulfur and fire raining down from heaven, and you've got the city probably crying out, and all she did was just simply look back. And she's turned into a pillar of salt. And the same thing with lingering, we all like to look back. Has anyone ever looked back on a relationship that didn't work, and because you looked back so much, you were ruining the relationship in which you were in? Or maybe you looked back on your old past and you were so focused on looking back that you weren't able to see what lies before you. Because whenever we look back, we're turning our eyes, we're distracting ourselves from what lies before. And as I said earlier, God is a God of motion. He's a God of movement. God has a purpose and a calling for each and every person. He has something for you, and it may be something completely different than what he has for me. But here's what happens. If I'm going to truly fulfill what God has called me to, I can't be looking back at where I was. Even though it may be home, even though it may have been comfortable, I cannot look back. And can I just say that I would have loved to have seen this? Like, there have probably been times where I asked God if my wife could look back. Can I just be honest with you? Michaela, why don't you look back? See if you turn into a pillar of salt. Sometimes I wonder, But God being a God of movement and God of motion, you know, if God's calling me from this place to that place, I can never get there until I stop looking back at what used to be and where I used to be and how I used to live and how we used to love and how he used to use me and what gifts he used to use through me. And I have to keep moving forward. And it's kind of like driving down the highway. And if I was to drive down the highway always looking in the rearview mirror, I'd probably run into something eventually, right? I mean, common sense would tell you if I was driving down the highway looking in the rearview mirror, I would hit someone or something. And then I would ultimately damage my vehicle. And the illustration there is if we're constantly looking back and focusing on what used to be, we will destroy what God has called us to. And we will never get to where God is wanting us to be. So for you, it may be God's wanting you to serve in one capacity or another. Maybe it's not preaching. Maybe it's singing. Or maybe it's serving food to people who have no food. Maybe it's putting clothes on the backs of people who have no clothes. But if you're constantly looking back, if you're constantly looking back at saying, well, back here I was unworthy. This is where I used to be. I'm not worthy of this. I'm looking back. Let me just tell you something. If I was to constantly look back, I would not be here right now. Because if I was to constantly look back, I would not be here. Because when I look back, I see what I used to be. And when I look back, I see the flaws that I used to have. And when I look back, I see all of the shortcomings in which I used to live in. I see all of my sin in which I used to linger in. And I had to come to this realization that the longer I looked back, the more I lingered, the harder it was to leave. And so I was reading this story, and you have to realize that this story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a beautiful model and example of when it comes to sin, living in sin. And we linger in it because it brings us joy and it brings us pleasure and it brings us satisfaction of one sort or another. Or we linger in relationships because we think that they're finally going to work out or this person's one day going to change. We linger in jobs because we're fearful of what God's calling us to. We linger in mindsets because we're uncertain of how life would look like if we actually changed our mind to be positive and to be Christ-centered. And we linger and we linger and we linger. And can I ask you if you know what was Jesus' first words when it came to his ministry? Does anyone remember Jesus' first words when it came to his ministry? Does anyone remember? No, it's found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I should have it pop up here in a second. There we are. So Matthew chapter 4, Jesus had just went for 40 days being tempted by the devil. And when he comes back from that, he said, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you understand that this repentance is a movement word? It's a motion word. Whenever you repent of something, it's literally changing your mind in such a way where you start to head in a totally different direction. So Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's wanting these people in his time to leave. And what happens with Lot is the angels tell him to leave, 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 but he lingered. And what happens in our life is Jesus is telling us, repent. And the Bible is calling us to repent, and the Spirit is convicting us to repent. Repent, repent, repent. But we like to linger. We like to linger. We like to look back. The Bible is calling us to repent and to change our lives and to ask for forgiveness of our sin. And to repent literally means to go in the other direction, meaning I'm not going to visit that thing again. I'm not going to live in it any longer. I'm not going to linger right there anymore. I'm going to repent. I'm going to move. I'm going to change my direction. I'm heading in a new direction. And I just got to ask, is there anyone here lingering? Are you lingering? Have you lingered? Maybe you're lingering in pews today, and you've thought about getting involved in this capacity or that. Maybe you're lingering because you're not sure if God could really use you with all the mistakes in which you've made. Maybe you linger because you're uncertain of what it would look like and how uncomfortable you may be. But again, God is a God of movement. God is a God of motion. And if we were to follow the words of Jesus, we would repent. We would change our mind. We would turn around. And we would head in a different direction. We would no longer linger where we are. Even though it's comfortable, even though we have some sort of joy, satisfaction, can I just tell you it's temporary? It's temporary satisfaction which we live in and we linger in. And I'm just curious if there's anyone here lingering now. I mean, are you lingering now? And the Bible says that when the two angels seized Lot, they forced him in a different direction. And can I just encourage you that sometimes it's good when people try to budge you in a different direction? Sometimes you need a good move or a good push. Can I just tell you that sometimes I need a good move or a good push. I need someone to push me to a different direction. I need someone to challenge me, to guide me into this way or that way, away from the lingering, away from the sin, and away from the brokenness in which we live in. And if we were to follow the words of Jesus, we would repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the longer we linger, the harder it is to leave. And maybe you can identify in your life that there are relationships, there are sin, or there are lifestyles in which you've lingered in. And can I just encourage you to leave? Just leave. Leave them behind. Leave them behind. Stop lingering in things that we should have left behind a long time ago. But leave. Leave. Maybe we're fearful of what life would look like or what friends we may have if we leave where we are. Or maybe we're fearful of what life would look like or what joy or comfort we would have in new things. But can I just encourage you to leave? And here in a few minutes, you can leave the church. If you want, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to go back to that couch. And I'm going to put my hoodie back on. And I'm going to linger in it just a little bit longer. But I think that if we were honest with ourselves, and I'll be the first one to admit, there are things I need to leave. There are mindsets I need to leave. There are people you need to leave. Because all they do is bring you down. All they do is destroy your joy. All they do is steal your peace. All they do is make you want to say words that you can't repeat under this roof. All they do is distract you from where God is calling you. So sometimes you need to look at those people that you work with or people that you call family, especially people on your Facebook friends list, and you need to just leave. And did you know that sometimes the most, I wouldn't say the most friendly way, but you know, sometimes the most efficient way to leave is to just leave in silence, to just leave the room, to just leave that relationship that is unhealthy. Sometimes you don't need to justify yourself with certain sins, you just need to leave. Sometimes you don't need to remind someone of all of the things that they've done wrong, you just need to leave. Just leave. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And can I just tell you that the longer we linger, the heavier the chains get. And the tighter the grip becomes. And if we're to truly live to where God is calling us to live and to serve in ways that God is calling us to serve, today you need to leave. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you, just as he does for me. And there are people that need to hear the gospel by the way that you speak or the lives that you live. And sometimes people won't ever hear the gospel because they see you lingering in this sin or that relationship or this, and because you stay there and you haven't left, the gospel can't truly be shared. But I just want to ask again, is there anyone here lingering? And if so, because sometimes I linger in my mindsets. Sometimes I linger in mindsets, and I'll just be honest with you, in which I wish that my wife would praise me a little bit more. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I feel like she encourages me, but if she was to boast me up a little bit more, I would be a little bit better off. When really it's just unhealthy. Because my pride is causing me to linger in this mindset. And it's like I need some sort of approval or validation of people. And can I just tell you, I don't need that. I don't need it. Some people like the way in which I've pastored this church over the last year and a half. Some people probably haven't. Can I just tell you, that's fine. Can I just tell you that when my wife is very hateful with me and telling me to get up off the couch, that sometimes I wish she would just leave. She needs to leave that very moment where things are about to turn bad. When all she's wanting to do is just push me, to nudge me, because she realized the longer I sit on that couch, the more stagnant I become, the less productive I am. And the less work I get done. My God is a God of motion. He's a God of movement. There is no lingering or stagnant mindsets, lifestyles, or days. And today I just want to encourage you that whether it's people, whether it's sin, whether it's mindsets, it's time to leave. And this is what I know, that we will dwell, linger in sin or other things out of ignorance or because we do it intentionally. We do it out of ignorance or we do it intentionally. And what I want you to know is this. The more that I linger intentionally, it's like I'm slapping Jesus across the face a little bit harder. And the longer I linger in sin intentionally, I might as well spit in his face one more time. And I might as well drive the nails just a little bit deeper. And I might as well whip his back just a little bit harder. And what I want you to know today is that maybe it's time to leave without giving someone or some reason to them. Because you're going to respond to the word of Jesus Christ to repent. To change your mind, to head into a different direction, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what I want to do is I just want to pray with you, and as we get ready to sing our last song, I just want to encourage you that today can be a day of leaving. You don't have to linger anymore. You don't have to be bound to sin or to people or to mindsets any longer. And I just want to ask, will you pray with me right now?